This is Holy Week for Christians, and Passover begins Friday for Jews. So it's a time when many people around the world reflect on spiritual matters. The Benedictine nun, Sister Joan Chittister, says reflection is not enough in these times. People need to act on their spiritual beliefs. Sister Joan speaks around the world on matters of faith and social justice, and she's just published a book called The Time Is Now, A Call to Uncommon Courage. She says people's personal faith should be channeled into public action.
We have come to the point, I believe, where we are teaching only half of the morality and the spirituality we need. For Christians, it is relatively easily defined. We have taught the following of Jesus. Jesus the healer. Jesus the one that everybody loved. Jesus the one who cured sick people and talked to the crowds and loved the children. But that's only half of the spirituality that makes for full morality. When you turn that over, what you find on the other side is Jesus the prophet. Not just caring for the sick, but contending with the forces that made people sick, that oppressed people everywhere. So when you lose prophetic spirituality, you lose that edge to your own moral spiritual responsibility to make the world a better place. God created the world, but God didn't complete it. That's the task God left to us.
Okay, so for those who want to take up the challenge, what are the steps toward, as you say, speaking out and speaking out toward what you think is the truth? What do you recommend people do, especially because it's a daunting task to take on so much with people in power, especially if you feel like you don't have a voice?
Well, in the first place, the background for that, the understanding of that, comes to realizing that the separation of church and state does not mean the separation of the soul and the body. We say, I pray. I say my prayers. I go to church regularly. I give money to the poor. I pour soup in the soup kitchen. Nevertheless, have you ever questioned anybody about why we have to serve soup at all? We must bring to our society not just a good heart, but a committed view of what it means to make the world a better place in each of us. What can you do? Well, first of all, you can begin by paying attention to the legislation that is going through either the House or the Senate. You can examine that legislation. Most of all, you can study it this way. Ask who's being advantaged by this particular piece of legislation. Ask who's being left out. Ask yourself, what are the implications of this piece of legislation for the entire country, for the common good? You can join groups. You can form groups. Your best friends, all of them, your accountant, your lawyer, your doctor, your elementary school teacher. You can bring them into the house once a month, and all of you talk about this. Learn what it says. Discuss it. Respond to it. Pass those ideas on.
But these are acts of politics. These are acts of activism. Are they necessarily acts of faith?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, there is no difference between politics and faith. I know that people want to believe that, and I believe that's the heresy of the separation of church and state. It doesn't mean that I live here as a citizen of this country without responsibility for it, a citizen of this country without commitment. If this is a democracy, if we don't want to lose this a piece at a time, then we're going to have to stand up ourselves.
So let me pick up on that, because your dedication in the book, in it you talk about the people who you've met in your years of traveling the world, people who forever seek the truth, defend the weak, bring the peace, always, always, always stand up to protest injustice. The truth is, though, standing up doesn't always mean that justice wins out. I mean, these are my words, not yours, in the dedication. So the things that you feel are unjust might outlast you and your words. So what does that say to you?
Well, it says that's life. And it doesn't absolve my responsibility to be there. Prophecy is a slow-growing seed. It can take years. But God's time is not our time, and our time is not God's time. Mm-hmm. We each have some small piece of life and insight. We've been given those gifts for this purpose. That's a sin against creation, not to use them for the betterment of the entire society. Politics is the way a good people in a good situation live a good life. And that's the essence and the definition of the moral life as well.
There are people who are in power who are, in some parts of the world, perpetrators of violence, suppressing human rights, stifling the free press, who are considered prophets, even by Christians. How do you reconcile that?
Some people can speak and are speaking, but they are not speaking the will of God. And that's why I suggest that you have to ask the question of every single thing that's done publicly. Is what we're doing, is that really how God wants all people to live? God wants them to have food stamps, but God doesn't care about housing? Some people will say, that's politics. I don't have anything to do with that. Somebody else will have to take care of it. Some people will look at it and say, well, that's the way it is now. There's nothing we can do about it. We just accept it. Other people will say, this is not right. We can't have racism. It excludes half the human race. We can't have sexism. It excludes the other half of the human race. We have to realize that maleness is not the fullness of humanity, and whiteness is not the fullness of the color of humanity. And our responsibility is to make our own morality known.
What about people who don't have the voice that you do and don't have the presence that you do? You have done a lot of speaking all around the world. Speak specifically to one part of your book. This Friday is Passover, which Jews observe. You remind us that even Moses was a reluctant prophet.
Oh, I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories. Remember, the word comes to Moses. Moses, I want you to go to the Pharaoh. Tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, not me. I don't speak. I can't do that. Send my brother. Send Aaron. God gets angry at Moses. And he says to him, I'm sending you. I have heard the cry of my people. And I mean to free them. So I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I'll send Aaron, your brother, with you. But you're not going to get out of this just because you think you can beg off your responsibility. Moses is the model of the reluctant prophet. All of the major prophets argued with God about not being able to do this great work. And in every case, God's answer is exactly the same. I am telling you, you are to be a herald in the camp. You are to watch from the top of the tower so that you can let the people know early that they're on the wrong path. God doesn't say to any of the prophets, raise an army. Doesn't say to any of them, undermine the government. God says, warn them. Tell them my will. Remind them who I am. Now, each of us, we're raising children in our homes. We go to clubs. We have Thanksgiving dinners with our families. This is the kind of spiritual conversation that we should be carrying home from our churches. Then that half of our spirituality is grounded, and the second half is let loose in the society so that we can become what we say we are, which is a democratic government in search of the best possible life for all of our people. It can take years. Ask Martin Luther King how many years it takes to free a people. But we also have to remember that time changes nothing. People do.
What do you do with any kind of either reluctance, if you still and ever feel it, but especially with disillusionment?
Well, I can't believe you asked that question. I work with it personally a lot. And I've always said that if I ever drew or created for myself a coat of arms, I can tell you what the signature would say. It would say, if not for me, then because of me. That's a motto I pass on to everybody who's on this station today. If not for us, then because of us. Will we be successful? I don't even know what the word success means, but I do know what faithful means. I do know what committed means, and I do know what responsible means, and we are.
Thank you. Very nice to speak with you, Sister Joan Chittister. Her new book is called The Time Is Now, A Call to Uncommon Courage. Very nice to speak to you again.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been a great conversation.